This is Intercom number 7, Tor University College of Osteopathic Medicine in Vallejo, California. Hello, and welcome to the Osteopod. In today's interview, I talk with Samuel G., a fourth-year medical student from Toro University College of Osteopathic Medicine, located in Vallejo, California. Now, as you might have noticed, I've already interviewed two students from Toro University so far, one in Middletown, New York, and the other from Henderson, Nevada. And it was interesting, with my interview with Kai from Nevada, he mentioned that the students from that campus, as well as the Toro in California, have an annual basketball, volleyball meet and competition. And so it was fun to kind of get the other side of the story from this interview. But we learned a lot more about medicine in this interview with Sam. Found out that Toro University in California, in Vallejo, is actually located on an old naval shipyard, an island. And so why wouldn't you go to a school like that, right? But in all seriousness, I had a great conversation with Sam. We are both fourth-year medical students, and so we talked a lot about the match and how we're waiting to find out where we're going to go. And he gave some great advice in the podcast about what it takes to become a more competitive applicant all around, but especially as a DO student, and especially as we approach further years of the ACGME merger, or the combination of DOs and MDs in the same match application. And so I think his advice is very sound, very applicable to everyone who listens, and I learned a lot about Toro University in California, a lot of similarities with the other Toro universities that I've seen. But of course, there are a few unique factors about this Toro University in California that I think you'll find interesting. But let's get into the interview, where we start off with Sam giving us a little bit of background, where he's from, why he chose to go to medical school, why he chose the DO route, and why Toro University in California.
So my name is Sam. I'm a fourth year at Toro California in Vallejo, California. I was born in San Jose, and I went to high school in Fremont. So I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area originally. I went to Johns Hopkins for undergrad and then moved back in California, and thinking about when applying to medical school, really thinking about staying in California. And that was a huge priority for me. And I went into medicine because it's a combination of being influenced by the environment around me. I went to high school with very driven people, and in college as well, with like-minded, focused on medicine. And then also combined in college, I also worked in an athletic training room and helping out with sports teams. And that really kind of blended my interests in both helping people and medicine. And so that was kind of the initial reason why I went to medical school. And overall, you know, it's very unremarkable desire, very similar to other people. You know, I think medicine is a great fit of helping people, using science and talking to people. So those were the main reasons why medicine. And why DO is, you know, yeah. Well, as I said before, location is a huge priority. And I really applied to every California program, West Coast program I could. And they had a good record of getting people into California residencies, or at least West Coast residencies. And I know from even beginning that I didn't want to do anything super competitive in the match to internal medicine, family medicine, even with general surgery was pretty good at Toro. And why DO? I'm drawn to DO in part because of the sports medicine background. Very interested in the manual therapy to help with illness. Yeah, and overall, talking to some older people, realizing that, yeah, there's not that much of a difference between DO and MD, and this location of the school. Those are kind of the big things why I went to Toro.
You mentioned you went to Johns Hopkins for your undergrad, and that is, of course, is a big name in medicine. What, in addition to location, brought you back to California to pursue a DO school rather than staying on the East Coast and probably going to Johns Hopkins for medicine?
I think when my time on the East Coast, I enjoyed it a lot. Met great people, had great experiences, but ultimately, I think I realized, just thinking about my priorities, I really wanted to come back to California. Yeah, and then I think at a certain point, I realized that the prestige of a school, it can really only go so far. And I think at that time, I also really valued like the location and family. At the time, I was dating and trying to get engaged and trying to get married. And I couldn't do that if I was on the East Coast or, you know, any more or even really distant. And so, so just the priorities won out for me.
Tell us a little bit more about Vallejo, California, where the campus is located.
Yeah, so Torrey University, it's in Vallejo. More specifically, it's on an island called Muir Island. And the location of Vallejo is, it's kind of counts as the North Bay area. It's about 40 minutes north of Oakland or maybe 30 minutes south of Napa. Other big cities, you know, it's like a 50-minute drive to San Francisco. It's an hour away from Sacramento. It's by the water. It's actually quite beautiful. Depending on the time of the day that you're there, you can see the sun setting, there's water, it's by the city. But the city does have a history of or a reputation of not being so nice because the city went bankrupt. I think it was like in 2008. And so it's known for having a lot of crime, being a rough area. A lot of drug use. And so even today, there's sometimes a report that people's car is getting broken into. But it's getting much nicer. So the school itself, as I said, it's located on Muir Island. The island used to be a naval shipyard and a huge industry made Vallejo really like a really big area for people to come in and work, especially in like manufacturing or pipe fitting. Industry like that. But that closed down in 1997, which kind of contributed to the poverty. And the school itself is, I believe it's part of the Naval Shipyard. They rent out a few of the buildings to Toro. But overall, I really like it. Like, it's a great location. Yeah, it's by all those cities that I mentioned, other than just kind of, you know, taking extra precautions to be safe or, you know, not going to certain areas at night. Just like any other city, it's been great.
What was interview day like?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this question. And I really don't remember too much of it, but let me try and recall. So started off in the morning. It was like an introduction to the school, and then I think the interview is kind of unique in that it's a group interview, and so it was around, I think it was four or five other students with me, and in front of two faculty and one current student. And it would just kind of go down the line, ask questions, answer them. It might be a little awkward, you know, you're next to other people and you're thinking about their answers while you're hearing their answers while thinking about yours. But overall, it was very professional. It was really relaxed. That really stood out to me. And I feel like I got along well with the interviewers and they were very nice. And then afterwards, just kind of a tour of the school, kind of a breakdown of what living here is like, what kind of the details of, you know, paying for education and things like that. It was overall a fine experience.
What is the housing situation like in Vallejo, and what's the cost of living?
Yeah, so there is there's no formal student housing offered by the school, but a lot of students live very close to the school. It's on if they live in houses, they rent in houses on Muir Island itself. And the houses are really nice. They're recently built, I think within the last 5-10 years. And they're really big houses, big rooms. A lot of students bike to work. And the rent going from when I was there 3-4 years ago, or when I was looking at housing 3-4 years ago, it was around 800 to like 900 a month for a room. But these are really big housing. So a lot of students would share from the pharmacy school, like students get together from the pharmacy school or nursing school, and they would, or PA program, and they would just get together and rent out a big house, which looked like really fun. I would really consider that. Some students live farther away. Maybe they're from the Bay Area, or they're trying to find maybe cheaper rent on the outskirts of Vallejo. I did that. So my first year before I got married, I lived in Glen Cove, which is a neighborhood about 20 minutes away from the campus. I was paying around $500 a month for a house, for a room and house with three or four other Toro students. And then some people even live 30 to 40 minutes away. So, or 20, anywhere between 20 to 40 or even more. Common areas that people live are like Fairfield, American Canyon. A lot of our professors live in Napa. Some people come from Berkeley, San Ramon, some distant areas because they have parents or relatives or maybe that's where they're from college. Yeah, so the cost of living, those areas, I'm not that, or I guess I can speak to American Canyon because after I got married, that's where I moved to. And my wife and I, we were renting a one bedroom for $1,700 a month, which was a little bit pricey, but for both of us, and my wife is working in the location, that's what we wanted.
Can you describe what the campus is like for us and what you like about it and maybe don't like about it?
So the campus, yeah, so it's on an island, but it's connected by two bridges, one from the north and then one from the east. And so sometimes during the morning, those bridges can get backed up if you're trying to drive in from off the island. And so you got to plan for that sometimes. And then there's other people because of these bridges, they're connecting to other areas. So there's quite a bit of traffic from people who are not related to Toro at all. But overall for me, when I lived off campus, yeah, it was not a big deal. Just plan ahead and drive in. It was fine. Yeah, so I mentioned that the campus is on a formal naval base. And in my opinion, I don't think it's the school is like that impressive looking or, you know, really pretty looking school. But they've made a lot of improvements these past couple of years. We got a new provost, and she's made a lot of changes and put in like new signs and clean things up, new doors and new paint. And so it's been looking really good because I was on campus a couple weeks ago. It kind of has like the basics of everything that you need for a school. We got two main lecture halls, and they're outfitted with the modern, I guess, lecture technology. You got big screens and recordings and microphones and so that's where we go for lectures. There's also doctoring labs, so more rooms to practice doctoring. There's OMM lab with the OMM tables. The OMM tables are new, they're great. Got big screen TVs in OMM lab to see what's going on during construction. And then there's smaller classroom in the campus for group work. So if we have like these team-based learning activities or certain labs to go over a certain topic, we can do that. There's an anatomy lab. Our school is a Jewish-based school, and so there's certain accommodations that they made in the anatomy lab. All are good to make those religious accommodations. So there's like double doors because the air in the anatomy lab can't mix outside, but it's very clean. It smells great, but it's a fine experience. And then there's a couple wings for administration, faculty offices. I think what was missing during my time there is a gym. And because the gym, back when I was there, it was really small. It's filled with some equipment, but it could really only hold a few people at a time before it got really, really packed. And so they're actually working on building a new gym. And it's led by our student affairs and putting in a new gym in a different area of campus. And that should be pretty cool. I think, and there's a cafeteria there as well. People buy lunch. Heard it's pretty good. And there's a push to get there's healthy food on campus, so healthy vending options on campus as well. And then we also have a library, of course. The library, it's a pretty standard library. There's a quiet section, there's a talking section. I studied there a lot. It's a pretty great library. It's like the place where people get together to study.
What is the curriculum like the first 2 years of medical school?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is starting my year, so when I started schools in 2016, they changed the curriculum, made some adjustments to it. So it's systems-based, so organ systems. So start off with like basic sciences and then move on to like hemog, move on to cardiovascular system, respiratory system, kind of modules like that. Starting my year, they incorporated these team-based learning activities. You're assigned a group of six or seven people, and you go through, during exam days, you would go through these the tests together. There'll be a group test, and then there'll also be a individual test. and you would have a couple of exams, a couple of exams every month. And then anatomy was changed. Instead of being spread out through 2 years, it was put into one semester for us in the first semester. And so that was kind of a very heavy dose of anatomy up front. But yeah, I think it really served us well for the rest of the preclinical years. And then just like with any other medical school, I think there's changes to the curriculum. More and more schools are adjusting to online education, adjusting to any changes in medical education that might work more, better. So I think even when I last heard, they're changing how they're testing, changing how they're doing things. So kind of like what I say, I think it'll get outdated fast about the curriculum. So that's definitely something to bring up with when you interview at Toro.
What does a typical day and week look like for you?
So our hours are 8 to 5 as well. So we have lectures throughout the week, Monday through Friday, and usually the lectures fill up that 8 to 10 block or the 3 to 5 p.m. block, and especially on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because that's also when those days, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, when we have doctoring labs, we have OLM labs, we have anatomy groups. And so those take up that time between 10 to 12 and 1 to 3. And so we will have these labs during those weeks, during those days, and then lectures throughout. And so the lectures could either be in class or a lot of people go home after the labs because they like to listen to the recordings. Some professors have been shifting to just not even recording, but just giving a recorded PowerPoint or working through an online module. That's kind of a typical schedule. Sometimes there's a required lecture. Sometimes we have a guest lecture come in. Sometimes there's maybe the lectures turn into a group activity. And then examinations are usually on a Friday, sometimes on a Monday, usually at the end or the beginning of the week. Yeah, it's pretty consistent throughout the year like that. Yeah, and then, because our school is a Jewish school, we do follow the Jewish holidays. And so especially during October and certain in the spring, there's a lot of breaks off because those are Jewish holidays.
Are textbooks required?
I really don't remember cracking open a big textbook. I think a lot of the resources that you can find are online now. Yeah, I don't remember textbooks. And then if you need, I actually have used a textbook before for a research project, but our library is really good. They have all the copies of the textbooks. So if you need it, you can check it out there.
How well do you feel like your school teaches OMT?
I think our school teaches it very well. From what I've heard is that our school does more lab time than some of the other schools out there. So I'm not sure, what the standard is, but for us, we would get at least 6 hours of OMM per week, I think. And so we have two lab times. So from that 10 to 12, so at least 4 hours, excuse me, but from 10 to that 10 to 12 to the 1 to 3 block. And, oh man, it's been a while. But I think overall, I really enjoyed those labs. I think they're pretty well run. We had great instructors to help out, very hands-on. It's also kind of as with a lot of things in medicine, you get what you put into it. And if you're enthusiastic and you're asking questions and you're really trying to make the time and the effort to really try and feel something or learn a technique, they will help you out for sure. They will instruct you, and they're always willing to stay after lab to clarify something. And for the more academic portion of the OMM, we do have lectures. So like I mentioned, like on Mondays or maybe in the mornings on Tuesdays, and we have a lecture that goes over the theory behind what we're going to do, and then the actual OMM lab is the application of those OMM techniques and the practicing of that. And then usually at the end of there's separating the modules. So usually at the end of the block, there's a clinical test of you'll get assessed on your OMT skills, and there's practicals where you pretend to treat or you'll get called to demonstrate this technique. Yeah, those are, you kind of study for it, you prepare for it well during lab, and then on the real thing, it's not bad at all.
Are there special tracks, programs, and fellowships offered for medical students, as well as other graduate programs for other students? And are there electives?
Yeah, so our school, I believe, so there's definitely pharmacy, PA school. There is, you can get an MPH here with one of those programs. There is a nursing school. There's a master's of education. And like you mentioned, there's a master of like biomedical science for students who getting ready for medical school. They actually do a lot of research. They go over some of the lectures that we get as medicine, as medical students. And they're pretty well prepared for if they go to Toro, if they go somewhere else. And as for fellowships, so there is two main fellowships. So there's a primary care fellow and there's a fellow fellow on campus. So these people, they get named or they apply and basically spend a year on campus helping out with primary care department or helping out with OMM. Hopefully that can adds to their application for residency. And they get more involvement, whether it's like education or research or teaching. And I think our school is also known for basic science research, like metabolism research. And there's like collaborations with UCSF for metabolism, although that I'm not too familiar with that. And then there is a bunch of electives for us as well. So I know that there's wilderness in elective. There's something called healer's art. There's an OMM elective that I was part of where you help out in clinic on campus and you help out with clinics off campus as well. And you help out with teaching. And so, yeah, so I think there is a good variety of things like that.
Can you talk a little bit more about the research opportunities?
So, yeah, so I mentioned the basic science and our school is big on that. I believe we have these anatomy professors. They're very big on, they're very well established for anatomy as well. But I'm not sure how to get involved in that, but I do know some people in that. And our anatomy professors are from, one's from Duke, another's from Johns Hopkins. And I think they're very well known. And then the OMM department does publish a lot. So they do do like these educational series in the Journal of American Osteopathic Medicine, or I butchered that acronym. But yeah, they do publish a lot. And so they're either, so yeah, so that's one way you can get involved with the OMM faculty here. Another way is case reports. Yeah, those are, yeah, as with research, it just takes a little bit of initiative, takes a little bit of focus, kind of a clarity about what you want out of it. But yeah, it is possible here.
What is the third and fourth year curriculum like?
Yeah, so for your third year, it's actually assigned rotation spot for that whole year. So you'll get assigned to one of the places that I'll talk about later. It's set up for you. So you'll get your standard rotations that you need to graduate in all the different specialties. And then our school also has these 2 months during the year called what we call clinical distinction. And these are 2 months where you can use to... They're kind of like elective months that you can use to just to explore wherever you would like. And so some people can use that one of those months for extra board studying time. Other people use it to go on a different rotation, like a almost like an away rotation or a different rotation where they can experience a different specialty. You could work on a project like I did. I did an OMM related project during that time. So for those clinical distinction blocks, you write, you know, what you're trying to get out of it, and then you go do it, and then afterwards you summarize what you learned and what you've experienced and what you gained out of it, and it actually goes into your dean's letter, which also gets which is a document that gets sent to residencies as like the full evaluation of you. And so that's a cool way to show yourself out there, to explore something new, and to create something meaningful that you can talk about for residency interviews. And it goes by pretty quickly. So a third year, especially, so you've got a month or two rotations at a time, you got a shelf exam, and then you're on to the next one. And then in fourth year, you set up your own rotations. And so you can set up anywhere you want to go. Yeah, if you want to move back home, so you can move back home and then do all the rotations back there. So for this for me, this meant doing some sub-Is and doing some sub-Is on places or institutions that I'm really interested in. Was really interested in going to for a few months, and then afterwards I build up rotations closer to home. So I'm really thankful for this flexibility because my wife had a kid this past November, and I was able to set up rotations that near my home. So that I could be home with my wife and spend time with her and her newborn.
How does your school decide where you rotate?
So it is a lottery, and you place your preferences on where you would most like to go, and then number two and number three. And then there's certain exemptions that are people that don't get, that don't go into this lottery. So people with like families or medical conditions who need to prioritize being in a certain location, they get a little bit more say in what region they're going to go to. But yeah, there is a lottery. And then afterwards, you know, after the assignments are given out, people do trade. So there's some people maybe change their mind or, yeah, so there is a possibility of trading as well. And I think they're kind of trying to change that. They're trying to change maybe the exemptions, the lottery process. So yeah, it changes up. So yeah, I'm not sure if what I say is actually applicable to if someone begins rotations here.
Where can you rotate?
Yeah, so for third year, we have a bunch of sites. So we have these NorCal sites. Northern California, we have Kaiser Santa Rosa. We also have another Kaiser location where you're located in Napa. You have to do a little traveling between Napa, Vallejo, and Vacaville. We also have the NorCal site. It's in Fairfield and Vacaville. It's with the North Bay Hospital System, the private hospital system. And then more south, we have, this is still NorCal, actually. We have Stockton. And moving down south, we have Bakersfield, Chino Hills, Tibidac. There's even a few people that go to New York every year. I think one big development for our school is that we are trying to get affiliated with a hospital in Stockton. And one of our deans is like program director of the internal medicine residency there and trying to start up like rheumatology fellowship there. And so I think the plan is to try and make that Stockton site like our more of our teaching site. And so they're actually hiring hospitalists to try and be these teachers while also being doctors at Stockton. So I think that'd be really good because then it makes our Stockton site much more academic. And so for people trying to go into internal medicine or surgery or even more academic family medicine, that'd be a great site because what you find in rotations that a lot of these different places, some of them are more academic, some of them are not. And that might play a role in the specialty that you choose. It plays a role in the letters of recommendation that you get. And it changes and makes you think about like where you want to go for residency and beyond. I would say that most of these sites I've heard pretty good things about, especially the Kaiser Vallejo and the Kaiser Santa Rosa sites. Those are family medicine programs. And so those are very well-run residencies and had great learning experiences there. Natividad, I believe, is also a family medicine residency. The Stockton sites are residencies as well. So they're trying to get those bigger up, get those bigger. Because kind of the reputation of the medical school kind of depends on the available rotation sites. That's something I realized.
How well did you feel prepared for your board exams as well as shelf exams?
Yeah, so I did take both the STEP and the complex because my goal was to stay in California for internal medicine residency. And that was the advice that I was given. Because it's just very competitive in California. And so if you have a STEP score, then it allows you to be compared with other MD applicants with only STEP. So that was the advice that I got. And I followed that. And I feel like our school prepared us well. It's definitely very, very stressful during the first 2 years thinking about the STEP and the comments. I felt like, in short, yeah, I did feel prepared. And I feel like I was given tools to succeed. I think for comments, definitely, I felt very prepared, especially for the DO portion. Our school, everyone says that our school prepares us for the comments really well. It didn't feel like, I think I focused my study on the STEP and then the comments. Everything else was, I was pretty well prepared for, just a quick review before the comments exam. And then for third year, for the shelf exams, I think these were, at least the rotation site that I was at, I felt like there was a good balance between clinical work and self-study time. I did have to commute a little bit to some of my sites. So when I was at Kaiser Santa Rosa, I drove an hour each way for my internal medicine rotations. It was just kind of stressful, but you know, you learn to prioritize, you learn what to cut out. And you learn what to focus on. And I did fine on my shelf exams. And so, overall, I felt like I was, I, I had no issues with it. Felt like prepared well. I did well. I'm very happy with how I did.
What kind of clubs and interest groups and intramurals do you have at your school?
Yeah, so there's interest groups of every specialty at our place, at our school. So family medicine, big. Internal medicine is also big. Surgery group, ortho. So I think every school has got, you know, decent sized interest groups for every specialty. Some of the clubs that we have some pretty cool clubs. So I think recently there's like this microgreens, kind of healthy, sustainable eating club. It seems really cool. There's Chinese club. There's a Christian club. There's, yeah, every sort of group there. We can also learn more about that on our school's website. It's called tustudentlife.com. And that's where you have a full list of all the clubs on campus and what they're advertising. For intramurals, there's a pretty big, at least when I was on campus, there's a pretty big basketball group. So there's a Facebook group. People get play pickup. People hang out. It's kind of a thing to do after exams. Just get a basketball game going. It's pretty competitive. It's pretty good. We also have a volleyball interest group as well that I was a part of. And then every year our school does this thing with Toro Nevada where we have a big volleyball game or a basketball game. And so that was actually, the volleyball game was actually yesterday. And so Toro Nevada won, but a couple of years ago when I played, we were the victors. And so, yeah, we get a team, we built up a team and then we practiced for a few months and then we played a game. It's really competitive, super fun. The whole school comes out. It's open to all the departments. So whether you're a pharmacy student or a PA student, you can all play. Yeah, super competitive, super fun. It gets like streamed online. Whole school comes out. Even like some of the deans or faculty comes out as well. So I think, yeah, so there's some good moments of extracurricular activity here on campus.
Are there support groups and opportunities for spouses, families, and children, as well as mental health and educational counseling?
Yeah, so definitely mental health and also the learning resources. We even have career guidance. And I know that these departments are really getting kind of beefed up for us. And emails for this at least go out for once a month, you know, talking about, yeah, if you want to visit, schedule a visit. We have these learning, educational help sessions, how to study, how to learn best. And so it's definitely out there. And so definitely available, which is really nice. I've been to a couple of learning ones. Just like, you know, in the beginning, just trying to figure out how to study. And so it's definitely really nice to have that available, have people you can talk to know that you're not alone during medical school. As for families and spouses and children, I know that there's a Facebook group for them. I think it's more informal. I don't think there's anything formally set up from the school itself. But I think from my own experiences, it's a little bit more self-driven. If you have a spouse and you know, other person with a spouse, you know, hey, let's hang out or let's have dinner together kind of thing. And we do have quite a number of people on campus with children as well. Usually those people have like we have support groups, we have our own kind of network of support outside for, you know, my kid or for each other. Yeah. Yeah. Just support in general.
Now, this next question, I think particularly applies to those who might not have a family or any family members in the immediate area. They might be single. But can you tell us a little bit more about what there is to do in Vallejo as far as like a social aspect is concerned?
You know, I think with being in California, there's a lot to do. I'll just speak overall. Being in the Bay Area, there's a lot to do. So on the weekends, I have friends that go to Berkeley, go to the city, SF. There's a lot of great places to eat there. It's a great food scene, lots of things to do. There's concerts, people get have parties together, either on campus or off campus. So overall, I think in terms of like funness, there's definitely, I love being here. It's in the Bay Area, it's great weather. There's great hiking, great scenes by the water. You can also go to Napa. Napa's also great for wine tasting, restaurants, just being outside, being in the Napa wine country, great weather. And also there's a lot of breweries, especially in Santa Rosa, in that area, Russian River Brewery, just to name some. And there's a lot to do. I know friends that go on dates and relationships and seem to be doing great.
Are there service opportunities and extracurricular activities offered at the school?
Yeah, so I think a couple of big things that really made my first couple years really good is that our school does run a free clinic in this in the city of Vallejo. So Vallejo is underserved. It's medically underserved. And we help run so it's called the student-run free clinic. It's in Vallejo. Some of our faculty members help out there. And it's really good because we get to provide health services to people who can't make it to the doctor or don't have insurance. And so that's a great place that people can get checked up and also get, we also offer OMM there. And so it's also a way to practice your OMM skills too. And so it's great. It happens, I think, once a week, and it's like 4 hours, and you volunteer for a shift. And I thought that was a really great experience. And then there's also other clinics as well. So there's a Berkeley clinic, there's a women's clinic. Yeah, lots of different ways to get involved with service and really make a tangible experience with your OMM skills that you learn on campus.
Are there any challenges your school is facing?
Yeah, so for any challenges, I'm not sure of any particular challenges. I think overall, I would say that our school is like really getting better. And I think it's getting better every year. We have new faculty that's getting hired on, and they're really great. I think that's young faculty. I think changing the moving direction of our school to be a lot better. We have great deans. Most of the faculty are really super approachable, willing to share wisdom or insight or time with us. I think the big change would be, like I mentioned before, the Stockton residency. And I'm not sure how that will play out, but I can only imagine that it's like a really beneficial thing for our school to get affiliated with a residency program. And so that's a huge plus. And that's something that I didn't have. You know, I would more seriously consider that residency, that rotation site for my third year. Having a rotation site where more students can be there means that the student body is a little bit more tight-knit because you have students rotating there together instead of being all spread out everywhere across California and some people in New York. So having one designated rotation site, or at least one main one, would be a huge benefit. So overall, I think there's a lot of good things coming out of it.
In your opinion, is there anything that could be improved about the school?
Yeah, so I think my main struggles were the preclinical curriculum, because I think when I was there, it maybe wasn't as well thought out as it should have been, and it caused a lot of stress because the curriculum was implemented, and some of the teachers were like not totally with it or on board or moving forward with it. So it caused a lot of kind of ambiguity and stress on the students. But you know, that's just kind of the nature of a lot of different programs. It's, you know, the curriculum is always changing, trying to keep up with medical education and the demands of, you know, board studying. Yeah, that's something that maybe is kind of that I think was a huge stressor on me that I didn't really appreciate. I did fine on boards. I feel okay. I feel like my application is competitive. Those are some things that you just can't control sometimes, but you make the most out of it.
Final thoughts on your school, as well as any advice for pre-med students?
Yeah, so overall, I think it's a great school. I think the Toro name, you know, the more that I go on rotations and meet doctors and residents, we have a lot of great graduates out there. So we have people at Stanford, people, you know, at almost all of the major, many of the major academic sites in California. And so the Toro name is out there, and it's just kind of, you know, up to you to get out there and be likable and do well on rotations and figure out where you really want to go. Overall, I'm really happy with where I'm at and where I'm going. I think it was really helpful for me to stay in the Bay Area, to get married, have a kid. I couldn't really do that if I was anywhere else. And so my advice is for any prospective medical students, really take that time before medical school to reflect and think about what you really value and where you want your life to go. Because this is kind of a big, major, milestone or a stepping stone to young adult life. And you're really going to get changed in medical school. And so hopefully for the good way, in a good way. And so really think about what you value. Do you really value vocation or family, or do you really value, you know, prestige or being in a certain area because you want to move there? And then also just finally make sure you have good support wherever you go, because medical school and medicine in general will, it's really hard. You have to sacrifice. You'll get knocked down. You'll feel really bad, or you know, people struggle with depression, struggle with mental illness, and so you got to really make sure you have some good support, whether that's family or social support, mental support, wherever you go, so that you can get pick yourself back up. And and then part of it is, lastly, you just have to make the most out of wherever you go. I think we get caught up in the name of a school or a residency and not think about how can I really thrive and how can I really make the most out of it? And we kind of think in terms of, well, what can this medical school or residency do for me? But a lot of times it's kind of the other way around. It's really who you talk to, how you present yourself in front of other people, your preparation before your test or your rotation, that makes a huge difference. So really think about, you know, how you can thrive and how you can make the most out of it. That'll really take you far and make you a good doctor and a good person.
And there you go. That was Samuel G. from Touro University, College of Osteopathic Medicine in Vallejo, California. I really enjoyed the conversation I had with Sam, and I think he gave some really great advice there at the end. I do want to touch on something that he said partway through the interview about STEP and COMLEX. Those are the board exams that MDs and DOs respectively take between their second and third and their third and fourth years. It is getting really competitive, I guess, in a sense, throughout the entire match with the ACGME combining DOs and MDs into the same category. I kind of touched on this earlier as well, and I think it's just really important to be able to do well on those exams. I think it helps you to get a foot in the door when you are applying for residencies, and with increased numbers means an increased chance that your application might not be seen by a program that you might be interviewing at. And I think this applies to all specialties, no matter how competitive it is. And so I think the better you do on those exams, the higher chance you are to be able to be seen by these programs and then show what unique aspects and qualities you have with the rest of your application. Now, this is not, you know, I think generalized across the board. I think there are exceptions, and depending on the specialty, depending on who you are and everything. But in general, I think that's the trend that we might be seeing with more and more DO schools being released and more, people applying to residencies in general. I think you got to make yourself stand out on paper. And unfortunately, that is the case. I know test taking is not the easiest thing for everyone, but I hope you do dedicate enough time to be able to do well on those tests so you may be able to go to the place that you want to go to for residency and in the specialty that you want as well. So I'll get off my soapbox. I just wanted to mention that and just agree with everything that Sam has said and the advice that he gave. So if you would like to get into contact with The Osteopod, you can do so at theosteopod@gmail.com if you're interested in being interviewed and you're from a DO school. And you can also find us on Twitter at The Osteopod. Feel free to spread this podcast around to your friends who might be interested in going to medical school in general, as well as those interested in DO school. I think the more people we can reach out to and help and educate about medical school, the better prepared they will be. So thank you for listening, and be sure to like and subscribe as well for future episodes to come. Take care.